Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Richard. That's Reverend Richard. I'm really glad I got the standing ovation before I spoke. I just want to share a little story with you that I thought was cute that I found the other day. St. Peter was at the Golden Gates and he wanted a break. He needed to go over for a little while and rest for a little while, so he said to Jesus, "Would you take over?" And Jesus said, "Well, what do I do?" And he said, "Well, just stand there and then ask the person, tell me about yourself. And after that, you can decide whether to let them in or not." "Oh, I can handle that." So Jesus is standing there for a few minutes, and this really older fella comes up. And Jesus said, "Tell me about yourself." And he says, "Well, I really am sad because I lost my son at a very young age, and he wasn't really my son, but I felt like he was my son. And I spent my years as a carpenter, and when my son passed away, I just couldn't get over it, but now I am asking to get some relief and some rest." Jesus looked at him and said, "Daddy!" He looked back at Jesus and said, "Pinocchio!" It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but anyway. So, you know, let me get this. There we go. It takes a minute, but it's supposed to work. Thank you. I need all the help I can get. Dare to awaken. And that's what I want to do, is dare you to awaken and continue to awaken and continue to awaken. Sometimes we think it's a one-time thing. I'm awake, and yet we live in our journey, we are able to awaken many times, and that's what the growth, spiritual growth, is all about. But when we awaken, there is a part of who we are that changes. Eckhart Tolle, who was the author of The Power of Now and a couple other books, said, "When I was awakened, when I came into an understanding of who I am, I walked around the city in utter amazement at the miracle of life on earth as if I'd just been born." Anybody here felt that way? Yeah, I'm sure. I know I had. And, you know, there's really no set way, so to speak, to have a spiritual awakening except for the signs of who you are and how you show up change. There usually is increased inspiration. You feel better about yourself, you feel better about life, you're beginning to go, "Aha, I'm something different than I thought. I'm just not this human being, I am more than that." Now you keep that to yourself for a while because some people might think you're a little crazy, especially if you get into the depths of it. And then there's this ability that inside you know something has changed. When I was in El Paso, and I've had many spiritual awakenings. I had a spiritual awakening as a Baptist and as a Presbyterian and then as a Congregationalist and then in Unity. And when I had this spiritual awakening, I kept it to myself, and I was still working. I was at the workplace, and a fellow that I worked with, who was probably 75 years old, great guy, said, "Richard, I want to have lunch with you today." And I said, "Well, okay." And he said, "I'm going to take you." And I said, "Okay, really okay." And so anyway, we went to lunch. We sat down. We made our order. And he looked at me and said, "What's happened to you? You've changed." And I'd been going to Unity for about 3 months. And I had changed. And I was changing. So others can see it, feel it, experience in you, and understand that something's changed within you. You also have this desire, I believe, to want to make the world a better place. Part of your vision, making the world a better place. It just comes, it comes with the idea, with this inspiration, with this awakening to who and what you are. And there is willingness to love and give without expectation. One of the things I've noticed in Unity is that some people have they have issues in their lives. that they need to deal with. And sometimes they are estranged from a father, mother, a child, whatever. And one of the first things they want to do is to figure out, how do I bring that relationship back together? And I have had lots of people ask me that. And it depends upon the circumstance. But most of all, what you do is you see yourself and that person in relationship in a positive, loving way. That you're going to love them into a relationship. And so that makes a difference in how we show up, and people feel it and members feel it. We also, and you've done this extremely well, is lose our interest in drama. I'm not talking about the arts. Okay? I'm talking about the drama that we seem to experience and sometimes want to experience and sometimes want to continue because people feel sorry for us. I'm talking about the drama that says, I am a victim. Why? Because I haven't done anything wrong. I do not understand this. Why is God doing that to me? Well, we know God up there isn't doing anything to you, right? That you are correct, that you have the power within you, you have lots of powers, to, in order to complete and be whole and understand who you are and show up and demonstrate that in your life. And then there's this idea that I said, the loss in drama. There's also the feeling, again, that something has changed, that you want to make a better world, that you want to love and give without expectation, that you lose interest in the drama in your life. All of those things are signs that you have spiritually awakened. There was a person who said, at the time I found myself feeling like an alien, the material side of things were gone, and I was living in a world seeking spirituality and truth. I felt an unconditioned and overwhelming love. If for a time I felt judgmental of others, I was able to look inward and find compassion and understanding for them. My thoughts were on a higher plane, and for the first time, I felt like my life truly had no limits. You, Unity Renaissance, has no limits. Now, I happen to think you got the best music program in Unity, right? And how blessed we are. Wow, I mean, how can you feel down after that, right? It's hard to do. And I'm sure somebody does, but it's hard to do, okay? And so whatever this thing is about spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, enlightenment, psychic change, rebirth, nobody can exactly tell how that affects a person and how it creates this new sense and definition for life. Only you feel it, but it's contagious and it's beautiful and you know it. Now, the other thing I want to do here is introduce somebody that's been mentioned already. And this may take a long, there it is. Okay, now, talking about being awake, this is Maisie, okay? And, I don't have a picture of Vicky. So I may eat lunch on the road, hoping she'll forget. But anyway, this is Maisie, and Maisie is now about 7 months old. She was about 4 months old there, 3 months old, and she was awakened. There is nothing that she's not curious about and still is a puppy. And so she is always waking up to something new and accepting it and being wide open for it. And you know, you and I can do the same thing. But one of the things that happens as we move along is this thing called spiritual bypass. And what it does is it describes a tendency to use spiritual explanations to avoid complex psychological issues that you might be dealing with. Spiritual bypass says, I'm not really sure I want to deal with that, but I want to feel good. And I can't tell you how many come to Unity to feel good. And that message didn't make me feel good. I said, I'm not supposed to make you feel good. I want you to walk out feeling good, but I want you to understand there are issues that we need to deal with in our lives, and they're painful sometimes. They hurt sometimes. Sometimes we want to run from them. And so what happened is this word spiritual bypassing really was coined in the 1980s by a transpersonal psychotherapist, that's a mouthful, named John Wellwood. And in his book, Towards the Psychology of Awakening, according to Wellwood, spiritual bypassing can be defined as a tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues. When I first came into Unity, I heard a person speak at Unity, and they talked about the idea that if you'll be positive, everything will be okay. And that can be true. But at the same time, having a positive way of being, being a positive thinker, being progressive, doesn't always mean that you're growing spiritually, especially after you've gotten over the initial experience. What it means is that if I'm not careful, I can bypass the work that I need to do in opening myself up so I can really awaken. As long as you're breathing, there's an opportunity to be awakened. I believe that with all my heart. And that's the people who are awakening, I'm saying. Because we cannot stand in the same place at the same time and have any change take place in our lives. Some of the signs of being into this concept of spiritual bypassing. There is detachment without compassion. I'm detached. And so therefore, I can be centered on making sure that I don't take sides. Right? I don't have to be attached. Well, the thing wrong with not being attached to somebody is that you're not empathizing with them. You're just looking at them as an object, trying to be as objective as you can. And yet, when you're too objective, and I've experienced this in ministry, as a minister, talking about myself, whereby I'm so objective that I don't want to get on either side of the issue because I want them to decide what to do. And if it's a delicate issue, then what happens, they don't feel any compassion coming from me. And then that translates into, I'm not really sure that you care. And our job with each other is to care, to show up. There's also this avoidance of uncomfortable feelings. And what we're talking about there, sorry guys, what we're talking about is the avoidance of uncomfortable feelings. What we're talking about here, especially in meditation, you know, when I was first taught meditation, it's going to the silence and feel good, and, you know, be there and stay there and don't have any thoughts coming through. I have never been able to achieve that. Now, some people do. Richard doesn't. Because what happens when I go into meditation many times is I start to have these thoughts. If they're repetitive in nature and strong enough, I have to look at that and say, what am I getting? What kind of signal am I getting? What kind of message am I getting during this time of meditation? And sometimes it can be pretty painful. It can hurt. Because what's happening is we're starting to deal with unresolved issues, things below the conscious. And they come up for us. And so meditation is a tool for healing, as well as a tool for being calm. What happens in meditation is I can look more objectively at myself and compassionately at myself as I deal with an issue that is a core value that's no longer serving me. And that is part of awakening. And people run from that because, you see, there's not supposed to be any pain. There's not supposed to be any discomfort during meditation. The other thing is that we come up with this idea of weaponizing our meditation practice. Claiming superiority or righteousness over those who don't share your practice. Boy, I got some mumbles there. And so what happens, and I've had a few friends go through this, not something they stay in, thank goodness, if they're willing to really look. But they go through this when they, you know, I had a friend who said, I meditate an hour every morning now. Every morning I meditate an hour. And you need to start doing the same thing. I can't meditate an hour every morning. I know, I'm a minister. I'm supposed to be able to meditate for hours. Can't do it. Sometimes I can meditate an hour and a half, 2 hours. Sometimes I can meditate for a day. But generally speaking, 20 to 30 minutes is about all I can manage in that morning. Because the other thing I do is I set intentions. I set intentions after I meditate. How do I want to show up today in this situation? I look at my schedule. What's coming up? It's a difficult meeting. How am I going to show up? How am I going to be spiritually awakening during that time? And when I'm able to do that, then what happens is I can literally manage my day so that I can stay, hopefully, in spiritual consciousness rather than ego consciousness. And all of us can do that. Now, as we look at these thoughts, okay, what happens is that there is a process that we go through, and that process kind of looks like this, I think, as it comes up. Aha! This is a cognitive triangle. Some of you may have seen it. Some of you have taught it. Some of you have been a student to it. But basically, this is simplified, that we have thoughts. We all have thoughts. Now, can you tell me where your thoughts come from? I can't tell you. I don't know where my thoughts come from. Some of them I wish didn't come up. But they do. Where do they come from? We don't know. But somewhere, and I happen to think it's in the energy of the universe, that our thoughts come up. Then what happens, you see, is those thoughts turn either into behavior or feelings. Usually they have feelings to them. When you accept the feelings of your thought, they will then direct you in your behavior. If you are spiritually awakened, you will take the opportunity to grow yourself and find out what is it I'm supposed to, what's attracting me and what am I attracted to? On the other hand, if I am more in my ego, my thoughts are going to say, how do you get even? How do you get that person out of my life? How do I deal with this situation, this drama that took place for me? And there are answers to that. But generally what happens, then our thoughts become thinking, and we think the same thoughts over and over and over again every day. When we think our thoughts that way, there's no room for change. We're stuck. But what we can do is we can open our hearts so that's not a problem. And Deepak Chopra, many years ago, wrote about a way and a technique to do this. And I do want to share it with you for a second. And that is to take the opportunity to slow down. The illustration he used is all of us are set at a railroad crossing. They still have those today. And you sit there and this train is coming by, just speeding by. And then it starts to slow down. Let's say it's a coal train, many kinds of coal cars, okay? And what happens is that as it speeds by, you can't see in between the cars. They all look like one to you. Then it starts to slow down. Then you know there's something on the other side of the tracks. And then it slows down a little more. And then you get more of a picture. And you see cars on the other side. And then when it slows down totally, you have the time to think about, because you've got a gap now, wide enough in your thinking, to think about something that can help you grow and mature. That's being in the gap. Professional athletes want to understand what it is to be in the gap. People who are spiritually awakened understand what it is to be in the gap. We've got to slow down. We've got to slow our thinking down so we can come up with a new thought, a new idea, and imagine something different. And so as we're caught up in this, what happens is we begin to understand ourselves. And the way we do this is we look at our screen of life. And what is our screen of life? It's how you show up. Each of us have a different screen of life because we've all had different interpretations of what's happened to us, even though it may look like the same thing. And so we slow down, and as we slow down, we then start to be able to look at our screen of life. When I look at my screen of life, what I'm looking at is, how am I showing up? What kind of effect am I having on other people in my relationships, in my family, in my community, in our ministry? How am I showing up? And if you don't like the way you're showing up, you can change it. You can change your behavior because you now are awake. And as you are awake, what happens, we become aware. We become aware of how we're showing up, and then we set the intention of how I don't want to show up. I set the intention of how I want to show up, is what I mean to say. I don't like the don'ts. So how can I show up? The next thing is we then know that we need to be awake. And that means that we need to be alert to what's going on in the moment. See, when I set an intention of a meeting that might be difficult or could be difficult, what happens is that I am able to know when defensiveness, when lack of compassion, when drama starts to take place. And when I recognize that because I set the intention, it's like a miracle. I just step back to my intention. And I can show up in that intention, as that intention, and make a difference. So our screen of life tells us how we want to show up. And then the next thing is to be creative. I cannot be creative when I'm stuck in the past. I cannot be creative when I think and believe that I know the truth, and the truth I know is the capital T truth. Think about that. It's knowing the truth at such a level that you've trained yourself to know the truth and believe the truth that keeps you from finding further truth in your life. And we all do this sometimes. I got the answer. You know, my description of God today is so much different than it was when I came into Unity, so much different than it was when I was in ministerial school, so much different was when I first went to Unity of Richmond. God is either growing or I'm growing in my understanding of God, and I can't answer which it is. And then don't live in the past. And I'm saying this to each of you because you guys have a great, great, great past, and you know it. You have phenomenal ministry here. I'm going to promise you I'm going to do everything I can not to mess it up. Okay? That's not my intention. You guys are so blessed. But what can happen is because of the past being so wonderful with Paula and the other ministers you've had here, each stepping up a notch, each seeing Unity of Renaissance for what it can become, that you might think this is who we are. But we are never, ever our past. We are, in the now moment, understanding what we need to do to create our future. And you can do that, and I know that. And then, let's go to this last slide here, I think. Ah, well, this is the last slide. Because it says it. What I want to do is dare you to be more awakened. There's nothing wrong with the way you are now. But when we are more awakened, boy, our lives take on a different dimension. When I retired from Unity of Richmond, I thought, I'm going to retire, you know, and I'm going to take it easy for a few months, and I did. And then I got bored with myself. And I said, what can I do? And all of a sudden, a friend of mine called and said, you ought to think about being an interim or a transitional minister. Well, I knew what that was. I've heard terrible stories about how they operate. I said, why me? And then I took a course. And I took another course online, and all of a sudden I felt this calling into what I'm doing today. I'm still alive, I'm still breathing, I'm still healthy, I'm still excited. I still believe that the Unity message and the message of New Thought is the most powerful message on the planet. And I want to see that more, demonstrated more on the planet, because we have the ability to bring that about. When will it happen? I don't know. Maybe the next person that joins Unity is the tipping point for that change. Who knows? But there is this opportunity to make a difference, to be awake, and I know that you are the power that can make that happen. God bless and thank you. Take this moment to go into that place called the Spirit on High. And as we do that, we become aware in this very moment of the stillness. And we become aware that it's during this time that I can ask, how do I awaken to the next level of beingness? How do I feel no sense of separation, but all oneness? How do I love unconditionally? How do I forgive? And as we understand ourselves, as we awaken into this moment, we know the presence of the I Am is within each of us. That each of us are having this individualized spiritual experience that brings us into each other's presence. It's meant to touch our hearts, touch our souls, and to allow Spirit to be in charge. And so for a few moments, sit in the silence and allow whatever comes to you to come to you. Embrace it. Sit in this moment. You may not be getting the answers, but you're getting an idea of something that you want in your life that will take down any walls of separation so that you are exhibiting and being understanding and compassionate love. Take that with you this morning. You are the love that is to show up in the world. You are the love that's to show up with your family. You are the love that shows up here as Unity Renaissance. So as you come to this moment, this now moment, as you open your eyes, you know that you are bringing this love with you. And so it is. Namaste.
Flow, Spirit.